It's time now for Top Shelf, the segment where we ask artists about the works that have influenced them.
I'm Alison McDowell. I wrote Pomona, which is currently on at the Red Stitch Actors Theatre, and this is my Top Shelf. My first selection is not a specific film, I think. It's just Steven Spielberg as a whole. Because when I was about six, I think, Jurassic Park came out. But I was sort of too young, my parents wouldn't take me to see it. And instead I got given this book, like a sort of annual of Jurassic Park. Like, you know, it had the story and I guess some kind of colouring in and things like that. And for some reason in the back of it, they'd put Steven Spielberg's filmography, like his whole list of every film he directed and every film he produced and all of his business. And it was like the first time I was aware that that was a job you could have, that there was an artist behind something, that there was someone who made several things. I loved his movies when I was young, and I still do, but it was more just the idea that someone could have that job, which was just sort of completely mind-blowing to me.
So Mom took off for Alaska, huh?
Yeah.
Sort of left you in charge. She gonna be up there a long time?
I don't know.
It's kind of nice for you, huh? Whole place to yourself.
Yeah, it's great.
You got crickets anyway. Tons of crickets out there.
My second thing is, I started writing plays when I was a teenager, you know, and I started doing a lot of a reading that a lot of playwrights do when you're that age and then going to university. So I read Beckett and Harold Pinter, and I got very obsessed with Sarah Kane. And then when I was at university, I discovered Sam Shepard. So I guess more specifically, the kind of middle plays are the ones I'm talking about. So True West and Buried Child and Curse of a Starving Class and things like this. I was at a point where my writing was starting to get quite experimental. And then when I read Sam Shepard, his work, which sort of sprung out of the avant-garde in the kind of 70s in New York and stuff, it was still very peculiar and theatrical and live and kind of wild. But he'd also, particularly in those plays, sort of fused it with Greek tragedy and, you know, Chekhov and sort of family dramas and stuff. And I sort of realized you could do both, and you could kind of fuse kind of disparate things together to make a sort of more strange and original sort of whole, you know. My third thing is the cassette tape albums of Daniel Johnston. I guess a lot of people's first exposure to his work would have been seeing Kurt Cobain wearing this t-shirt with a frog on it and thinking, what's that? What's this thing that he's wearing, you know? And then I gradually started to kind of discover the music.
Listen up and I'll tell a story about an artist growing old. Some would try for fame and glory. Others aren't so bold.
The thing that was so important to me about him was that he just sort of did it. He just did it on his own. He just sort of recorded these albums and he just gave them out to people. He was a really good person to find at that point, because when I was making work at university and I was quite influenced by just the aesthetic, which is lo-fi, I guess, you know, hand-drawn covers and work that puts feeling over craft, basically. And I sort of realized that theater at that time, you know, when I was making things on my own, I was working on the fringe and as a student and things, and sort of began to embrace theater's position as an inherently lo-fi medium. So before that, I'd be trying to make work that kind of required big sets and things, but I didn't really have the means to do it. And then I guess when I was discovering his work, just thinking like, that's actually not really very important. It doesn't really matter. Like, you know, so suddenly my sets would just be like cardboard boxes and kind of, you know, bits and pieces strewn across the stage. And every now and then it's good to be reminded of all of that and just think that that's really what art is. It's just supposed to be pure expression. And once you start doing it for your job, you can kind of lose a sense of that a little bit, almost without realizing it. So he's someone I return to quite a lot to just try and find a sense of purity again. The next thing, it was a huge influence on me generally, but I guess is a slightly more specific one on the play as well, on Pomona, which is Katsuhiro Otomo's Akira. So the manga and the film that he made, that he adapted himself. I saw that film when I was 12, maybe, something like that, and it completely blew my mind. I sort of didn't really like it. It sort of scared me. I thought it was sort of too intense and strange and violent and sort of didn't really understand it. But as this continued into my adult life, basically everything that I've come to love deeply, I basically didn't like the first time I experienced it. And it was the same with Akira, really, you know. And I guess with Pomona, it's got a very young character in it who is a sort of a very powerful character. And in anime, and particularly Akira as well, there's often a sense of like children having this sort of godlike status, you know, a godlike power. Akira, whenever I look at it, I can sort of be like, oh yeah, I've definitely pinched a few things from this, you know. And my last selection is, I guess, a more recent one, but also something that kind of had a bit of an impact on Pomona, which is Thomas Pynchon's novels, particularly V, Crying a Lot 49, and Gravity's Rainbow, those sort of three in particular, which are all sort of a piece, really. And he's sort of a writer who I still think, when I read him, feels incredibly modern, even though, you know, some of those books are written in the 60s. And similarly to Pomona, it's got this, they've got this sense, particularly those three novels, where the mood can switch from really sort of strange kind of vaudevillian kind of comedy and slapstick to suddenly like incredibly violent and upsetting, or kind of taboo sexual kind of stuff, or really peculiar kind of worlds that are sort of all spliced together, which feels like life to me. You know, life feels black and white and technicolor at the same time. You know, it's not one thing then the other, it's sort of everything all at once. And the way that he writes and kind of sees the world has definitely had a kind of big impact on how I write my plays, because despite the fact that those books are kind of hard and a lot of people have a lot of trouble reading them, is they feel weirdly kind of democratic in a way that they're just sort of about everything and everyone all at once. And theatre is an art form that has to be sort of about everything and everyone in a way, because that's who's going to come and sit in front of it and watch it, you know.
On the stage show, British playwright Alistair McDowell there sharing what's on his top shelf. And you can see his play Pomona at Red Stitch in Melbourne until the 11th of August.